From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The news of Israel's decision to ban American lawmakers, critical of its treatment of Palestinians, has drawn attention to the political battle within the U.S. over the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The two major parties have for decades joined forces to unconditionally support Israel and provide billions of dollars in military aid in spite of systemic Israeli oppression and occupation of Palestinian people and lands. But the movement to call Israel out for its crimes and even boycott it over its policies is gaining ground. Joining that movement is my next guest, David Clennon, an Emmy Award-winning actor who has appeared in the feature films Being There, Missing, The Thing, Syriana, and Gone Girl. His television credits include 30-something, HBO's From the Earth to the Moon, Netflix's House of Cards, and HBO's Dream On. He wrote an article in Truthout entitled, "I Said No to a Netflix Series Audition Because I Support Palestinian Rights." I spoke with David in studio about his article. Welcome to the program, David.
Thank you.
So tell me first about how this all began. You were invited to do a Netflix audition. You're an actor, so you decided to look into, I'm assuming that's something that you normally do, who's asking you to audition. What did you find?
Well, first of all, my agent sent me this material and said, you have an audition for this program that is called Sycamore, and your audition is at such and such a time. Actually, you have to produce your own video, David, and then send it to the casting directors at a certain time. And when I started to prepare for it, I thought the character was very interesting. That was good news for me. But when I looked at the bottom of my appointment sheet, I saw that the program was shooting in New York and Tel Aviv. And so I thought I would investigate a little further, and I found out that that two of the creator producers of the show were producers of the show Fauda, which is shot in the occupied territories and perhaps also within the borders of Israel, but definitely in the occupied territories. And I was at first very reluctant to go any further with this because I've supported the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement for a long time, ever since, if not before, the 2014 war on Gaza. So I thought this is, we're getting into an area here where I might be violating the boycott, which I believe in and support, if I go ahead with this project. So I consulted with friends in Jewish Voice for Peace, which supports the boycott. And I said, does this fall within the realm of boycott, divestment, and sanctions? We know that we ask performers, musical performers, and academic figures not to go to Israel, not to add to their credibility and prestige. But what about this? This is a television series co-produced by American and Israeli producers. Should we think of this as a project that we would include in our boycott? And my friends at Jewish Voice for Peace said, yes, we should think of it this way, and we should try to raise awareness of, among other people, that this is something that we should consider as part of the boycott.
So the two filmmakers, or the two TV writers, Avi Isharoff and Lior Raz, they created the series Fauda, which has been on Netflix for a while. This was their new venture. Did you watch the original series Fauda to get a sense of how they might portray Israel and Palestine?
I had not watched the show until I got this audition. And then I went online and I found the first episode of the show, and I started to watch that. And I got a very strong feeling that this was an action adventure drama that gave you no sense of the context of the conquest, the violent conquest of Palestine, which the Palestinians continue to resist to this day, and which the Israeli Defense Forces, including special forces and undercover operations like this, they're trying to undermine the Palestinian resistance violently. And so I felt that Fauda might be very entertaining action adventure.
Right. It's won a lot of awards, actually.
Yes, and I think it may be a very popular show, but I felt that historically it was wildly inaccurate and misleading, and I felt that if that was the approach that Issacharoff and Raz were going to take in this new program, that would be very bad news. And aside from that, I thought, we American performers and artists, directors, writers, should not participate in this kind of a joint venture because it supports this apartheid regime that has clamped down so fiercely on the Palestinian people for 70 plus years.
So you wrote your piece in Truth Out, and then a few days later, you had the news that Israel decided not to allow into its territory, into its country and the Palestinian territories, Congresswomen Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. Tlaib is a Palestinian American. We've heard on Friday that she was allowed to enter under strict conditions, just the West Bank, because she has a grandmother living there, but she turned it down, saying those conditions were too oppressive. This whole incident highlights, I think, the fact that there is this not just increasing criticism of what Israel is doing, but also Israeli pushback to it, right? Israel has worked very hard. This doesn't make Israel look good to ban these two lawmakers, but it's doing it anyway.
Right. And I would like to read something that to put your observation in context. When the piece that I wrote for Truth Out was published, which was my account of why I refused to produce an audition video for this program. Why did I turn down this opportunity? Someone like me who needs work and wants to make his agents happy, sure, I'll go in and read for that. Keep submitting me for things like this. You'll see how game I am. So I refused, and I explained in that story for Truth Out why I had refused. And there were many responses, including an article in the Jewish Journal, which is widely distributed in Los Angeles and is also online. And at the end, they quote, After reporting what I published, they give these two accounts from two pro-Zionist authorities. Associate Dean and Director of Global Social Action Agenda at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, Rabbi Abraham Cooper, said in a statement to the journal, the Jewish Journal, "Has this actor turned down a role because of Syria, China, Venezuela, Cuba, Turkey, Russia? He argued that Clinton singled out Israel, the lone democracy in Middle East, 20% of whose citizens are Arabs, and struggles each day against Palestinian terrorism." Cooper added that the only hope for peace is if both sides engage each other with respect. This actor's decision reinforces delusional Palestinian authorities' official policy of no normalization of human contact with Israelis. Disgrace. So that's the reaction of an authority from the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And his argument is that I am wrong because I have not turned down roles that were offered to me by companies from Syria, China, Venezuela, Cuba, Turkey, or Russia. And that's really unrealistic because so far in my career, I have not received offers to participate in any television programs that originated in those countries.
And isn't it true that the whole point of the boycott is that it's part of an organized movement that has been agreed upon? It's not something that people just engage in on an individual basis, because that just doesn't make a difference. There is an existing organized boycott of Israel called for by Palestinians, and a boycott is a very nonviolent means of protest, right?
It's a peaceful way of pressuring a government to stop violating the human rights of the people under its control, to end its policy of apartheid, which is so perfectly symbolized by that gigantic wall that weaves its way through what should be Palestinian land. And so, in Rabbi Cooper's eyes, I am a disgrace, and I am reinforcing delusional, I think he wrote this on his keyboard and didn't edit it, reinforces delusional Palestinian Authority's official policy of no normalization. Well, I don't know about that policy. This idea didn't originate with the Palestinian Authority. It originated within Palestinian civil society. It's not a government policy.
And does it have anything?
People's policy.
Does it have anything to do with human contact with Israelis?
Why shouldn't people have contact? But that doesn't mean that we should not boycott Israel to pressure them to respect the human rights of everyone in the territories that they control. Now, there's another response, if I may, that raises another very important issue. So the Jewish Journal talked to Rabbi Cooper. Then they went to the Israel Group founder and president Jack Salzberg. He similarly said in a statement to the Journal, David Clennon is a D-list actor that virtually nobody knows outside a few Hollywood casting offices. Unfortunately, he is getting more publicity from boycotting Israel than his entire career has brought him. That's a very unrealistic view of the entertainment industry, as many people could tell you. This was not a career move on my part. After searching the internet, I still could not find, when Clennon publicly condemned any Palestinian terrorist attacks in Israel that have taken the lives of thousands of innocent men, women, and children, or when he called out Saudi Arabia for their treatment of women and homosexuals, or Syria for murdering hundreds of thousands of their own people. And this is the sentence. This is clear anti-Semitism, front and center.
And this is Congress's logic for when they banned or criminalized the BDS movement, call it anti-Semitic.
Congress passed a resolution. The House of Representatives passed a resolution. Right. I think it's pending in the Senate. Yes. It doesn't have the force of law, but it denounces the BDS movement. The state of California, on the other hand, has passed laws that actually legally penalize companies that respect the boycott. So in that sense, California's repressive government machinery is more advanced than the federal machinery. But the question is Zionism and Judaism. Is it really anti-Semitic to call for a boycott of Israel? Is that inherently anti-Semitic? And is it anti-Semitic to criticize the state of Israel. And my answer would be that you cannot conflate Zionism, which is the ideology on which Israel was founded, you can't conflate Zionism and Judaism. I don't believe that Zionism is an essential part of Judaism. So to criticize Zionism is not to criticize the faith. It's not to criticize the believers. It's to criticize a separate ideology called Zionism. And it's really a false accusation, I believe, to say that those of us who criticize the state of Israel and its founding ideology of Zionism are anti-Semitic.
And this is Trump's logic too. When he denounced Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, he said they hate all Jews without providing any evidence, and they hate the state of Israel. And it just was also quite remarkable to see a sitting president calling on another nation's government to bar members of his own, you know, country's government from entering. So it sounds as though those people who claim that anti-Semitism is, or that the boycott of Israel is equivalent to anti-Semitism, are using Trump's logic.
I believe they are. And you see the same phenomenon in the UK, where you have a resurgent Labour Party led by Jeremy Corbyn, which is being dramatically undermined by a combination of moderate Tony Blair Labour MPs and a very, apparently very powerful and very vocal Zionist movement that is frantically defending Israel and trying to repair the image which is finally coming through all of the masks and all of the haze around it. And they have effectively, I think, I'm afraid, crippled the Labour Party in the UK. And we have the same phenomenon in the United States, maybe not as powerful. But now we have groups like Jewish Voice for Peace and Los Angeles Jews for Peace and many other organizations and individuals of the Jewish faith coming forward and saying, we don't accept what Israel is doing to the indigenous people it conquered 70 years ago.
So the part of the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, as far as I understand, is a reaction to the fact that Israel has worked very hard for decades to brand itself, to have a concerted government-backed PR campaign. Whether or not the two writers who created this show that you were invited to audition for are part of that or not, there is an effort by the Israeli government to brand itself as, you know, the only democracy in the Middle East and to whitewash its crimes against Palestinians. And so is that not an important context for this whole story?
I think it is. You're talking about an Israeli foreign ministry department called Brand Israel, which aims to use technology and culture to refurbish Israel's image, which has, as I said before, the mask is slipping. And the mythology of the founding of Israel and its existence as the only real democracy in the Middle East, that mask is slipping. And to point to that fact is not an anti-Semitic comment. And I don't see how, when you have Jewish organizations in the United States saying, yes, it is true, Israel is an apartheid state, Israel violates human rights on a gross and constant basis, how can you say that those Jewish organizations are anti-Semitic for making that criticism of Israel. It just doesn't, it doesn't ring true anymore. And I'm grateful for groups like Jewish Voice for Peace speaking out the way they have.
David, you said earlier this is not a career move, what you've done, which is to not just turn down the request for an audition, but to publicize your actions and to put it in a political context. What sort of reactions have you gotten, you know, not from the usual suspects such as the Jewish Journal, but even just from family and friends and the community? Have you received support? Have you been chastised?
I've gotten reactions, a whole range of reactions.
Dare I ask you what your agents have said?
I told them that I would not be submitting an audition video, and they quietly let it drop. They didn't make a big issue of it, and I'm very grateful that they have kept me in their stable, so to speak, and that they continue to submit me for roles in other programs. So they have been, I think they've been, they have to be neutral, but they've been very good about it, and they haven't punished me for my resistance. I don't know if you can say the same about the rest of the industry. We'll see how this plays out. Will an actor who makes a stand this way, will that actor be blacklisted? Will people just say, I never want to work with that guy again? And it is true that I'm not a high profile performer at all. Jack Salzberg says David Clinton is a D-list actor.
An Emmy Award-winning D-list actor.
but some trolls will say, oh, that happened so long ago, it doesn't count. So there could be a price to be paid, and that's where I hope that other people will take the next step, and that would be to come together and discuss what we as artists who care about human rights and who care about justice, what can we do collectively to support the cultural boycott? Is it possible that a group of television artists and technicians and actors could say, collectively, we will not work for an Israeli company until Israel has made this situation right and the Palestinian people have won their full human rights and absolute equality within Israel and what was historically Palestine.
So I'm assuming that you hope your actions and your speaking out about your actions will encourage other actors and other people in the industry who might be feeling this, you know, the same way as you are privately, but really worry about the damage to their career because, you know, it's a matter of putting food on the table, but who might be emboldened to speak out.
That's right. And there are, I'm thinking that the more of us who speak out and take a stand, the more of us who do that, the better it will be for all of us. And the better it will be for the general public, for the American people, to see that a group of performers, directors, writers, technicians, designers are saying, no, we're not going to collaborate in this process of whitewashing the image of an apartheid, oppressive colonial settler state. And if we can do that, I think it will start a new round of debate and discussion in the American body politic, so that people can really take a good look at what happened pre-1948 in Israel, Palestine, and what has happened since.
Well, I want to thank you so much, David, for joining me. We will link to your Truthout article from our website. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sonali.
My guest has been David Clenin, an Emmy Award-winning actor appearing in the feature films Being There, Missing, The Thing, Syriana, and Gone Girl. On television, you might have seen him on 30-something, HBO's From the Earth to the Moon and Dream On, and Netflix's House of Cards. We've been discussing his article in Truth Out entitled, I Said No to a Netflix Series Audition Because I Support Palestinian Rights. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo and find our audio podcast on iTunes and now Spotify.